Welcome to another Carlo and Laidlaw Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, you are a renowned sports person. You played footy and athletics and a whole range of things. Did you have any superstitions?
Is it Friday 13th or something?
Yeah.
What date is it? It's not Friday 13th, is it? We're not talking about black cats and walking under ladders and stuff like that.
Although that can come up in this conversation.
No, I didn't. And it was interesting. I know, I think having some habits and having some routines are important. And I know, but I never liked the idea of having something that I had to do or had to have or like eat a certain meal or do something the day before or whatever, because I always felt that I didn't want to rely on that for performance. Like, there's certainly some times when you had a good performance and you thought, hey, I did this and this, and if I that maybe that's why I perform it. And in my and then when you actually think about it logically, you go, no, that's not the reality. Like, but and so I didn't want to get into a system where if I didn't do something or couldn't do something, that I would have a bad performance. I didn't want to work that way. So, but I know a lot of athletes do think about certain foods and clothing and routines that they had to have for a good performance.
One of the subjects I did at uni was sports psychology, which looked at a range of different things about repetition. And at the end of the day, whereas we see them sometimes as curious habits, superstitions basically is about athletes that find success and they want to repeat that. They're all for repetition, and they're looking at replicating success. So that's where a lot of the superstitions come, habits are formed.
Well, it's about focus, isn't it? Like, so if you've got an opportunity, like, you don't always get that, but you think, I see a lot of basketballers, you know, at the free throw line, they'll have you see them, they bounce the ball a certain way, they might touch a shoulder or something. There's always, it's the same rhythm and routine, so it's about habit, and that enables them to focus on what they want to do. And I imagine in other sports like tennis, and other, where you can actually control something. It's a bit different when you're actually in a game where it's free-flowing. I know before, you know, if I was going to have a throw or a jump, there was a routine or a ritual I went through in terms of imagery and feeling and so on, but that was not always constant. But the idea of having a ritual was there, but I didn't have a set one. But I know, again, people like to have a set thing.
Well, you mentioned a couple of sports there, basketball and tennis. First off, with basketball, probably the greatest player I've ever seen, Michael Jordan. He used to play for the North Carolina, which had blue shorts at college. Yeah. He always wore his blue North Carolina shorts underneath his Bulls shorts whenever he played basketball.
I just wonder what you're going to say there, but then you said under his Bulls, Chicago Bulls shorts, so that's okay. Yes, that's true, and that's been a famous one, isn't it? And I remember Andrew Jarman being on radio once saying that he wore his football boots to bed the night before a game. They were new boots, because he had heard that Michael Jordan used to wear his new shoes to bed the day before a game. I thought, that'd be really uncomfortable. I mean, imagine, what's the worst thing going to bed in a pair of shoes? But anyway, I remember that. I thought that was quite a funny story.
Each to their own. And look, just touching on tennis there, Serena Williams, whenever she serves, she always bounced the ball 5 times. Now, the funny thing about that is you just see her bouncing. Then while you're watching a game sometimes, you might count them and, wow, 5 times. And then it becomes repetitious. And obviously with the success that she's had, that's been one of those controlling aspects that she's put into her game.
Yeah, and Nadal's the same. I mean, he does it. Have you seen him? Like, he does a whole lot of stuff, doesn't he? Like, yep. Touches, I reckon, his nose, his ears, wipes his hair. And I think there was a little article not long ago about him, and I think that's a little bit of OCD stuff for him. But again, that's probably whether he thinks about it or whether it's just a built-in habit. I'm not sure.
Look, there's a lot of superstitions that go with clothing, like your socks and wearing the same underwear. And
did you have one of them? Like, did you used to wear the same jocks over and over again?
No.
Did you have any superstitions?
No, only in baseball, it used to be always avoid the lines running out to my position and stepping on the lines coming in.
Baseball have a lot, like, baseball seems like a lot of superstition.
It is. It's full of it. And we'll sort of touch on that a little bit later. I just want to go through a few of the others because at the end of the day, baseball was probably the most superstitious sports there is. But I remember Tiger Woods used to always wear red, a red shirt on the last day of the tournament. And it was I used to always swear that he wore red all the time, but technically when I sort of watched golf, it used to be at the end of a tournament and he was always wearing red.
Did he have any other things that he used to do during...
I'm sure his activities off the golf course are well recorded and we don't need to touch it here.
So there wasn't a routine there?
Well, there possibly was a routine. It depends how you look at it. Now, let's get back to Australia. Let's look at AFL footy. I'm sure there's heaps and heaps. One that comes to mind is Matthew Lloyd. He used to always throw a tuft of turf in the air on every set shot.
He did, didn't he? In his family. Did he pull his socks up as well? He seemed to take forever. Is that why they changed the rule about how many seconds you could have to kick? Because he seemed to take forever. I mean, Lloyd, he was a good kicker too, yep. Wasn't he? But again, that centering concept of stopping, slowing things down, getting focused, imagine where you want the ball, and that obviously helped him get in the zone.
I remember sort of guys that couldn't kick a goal if their life depended on it. All of a sudden they become sharpshooters because they find little routines, whether it's aiming for someone behind the goals or whether it's crossing your left foot over from your right. Or there's a whole myriad of explanations I've been given about their superstitions, and at the end of the day, they don't match with what I believe, so that's why we look at its very curious habits.
It is, and when you look and see them, and you see them all the time, and the guy in West Coast now, is it Kennedy?
Yeah.
Is it Kennedy that has a really stuttery...
Yeah.
And that, but he's very good kick for goal, isn't he? But when you watch his run, you think, what the hell is he doing? But then it obviously gets him in the right rhythm, gets good timing. Interesting one in race car is peanut shells.
Yeah.
Have you heard that one?
No.
I remember as a kid, my dad, as we talked about before, has race sprint cars. And I remember these guys talking about, because it went back to way back into the 30s where a NASCAR driver crashed and died, unfortunately. But they found
peanut shells
in his car.
Yeah.
And so... So apparently, that's obviously a bad omen. And the other one seemed to be in the car racing was the colour green. Seemed to be like a, pardon my pun, but bogey colour.
Yeah, that's, I can't understand that. I mean, green is my favourite colour, and I'm sure it's one of your favourite colours. And I'm thinking green means go. My impression of green with cars has always been a positive.
Then remember Dick Johnson in the Green Falcon, and he had troubles with that, so maybe there is some truth to it.
I'll just have to take your word on that one. You're the motorsport expert, so... But look, I'm more of a baseball expert.
You are definitely a baseball expert.
And I cannot believe the amount of superstition that comes through baseball.
Tell me some.
Well, just look at some of the World Series. I mean, in 2013, Boston, they all wore the beards, and I know that's been used by other sports as well. I remember
that's from ice hockey.
Yeah,
I think they started that. They all, like all the teams and the players, would not shave.
And then back in 1987, Minnesota Twins, all the spectators had the white hankies that they used to flutter up and down. I think it was to put the opposition off, but I can't see how that would do that. But I suppose when they did it, they won, and they had a very good home record that year, and they won all their games at home in the World Series, so good on them. California Angels from Los Angeles, they won the 2002 World Series, and they were the comeback kids that year, and they used to have this toy monkey, and they called him the Rally Monkey, and right through the World Series, it was very prominent, and a lot of the players believed that was their good luck charm. Then there was the Atlanta Braves, who always sort of had that the chop where they go up and down. Again, I suppose that's what they thought would put opposition off. I suppose it's what they believe, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? And it's a funny thing. We all get on to that if it works. And then the crowd love it too, don't they? If it's something the crowd can do and it keeps getting results, of course, then it builds that momentum and they think that's it. But of course, I always think about confidence in sport, isn't it? Like, and we see it all the time with footy teams or whatever, and they've lost their confidence. And it's such, I think, how do you do that? Like, especially at a top professional level, but of course you can. But those little things, they're just enough. The idea that we believe in that, and geez, will that make a difference? And of course, if you think it does, it most likely will.
Look, baseball, there's so many way out superstitions. I mean, some players like Wade Boggs, very famous hitter, he used to only eat chicken before every game. And I've heard of other people, like triathletes, always have spaghetti bolognese the night before race, but they were carbo loading, so there was a reason behind that. There was another guy called Mark the Bird Fittich, and he used to talk to himself on the mound and used to squawk around like a bird on the mound, sort of scratching away. Unbelievable. And then of course, there's when a pitcher's pitching a no-hitter, no one in the dugout talks to the pitcher or mentions the fact that he's got a no-hitter.
You don't want to jinx it, do you?
No, that's...
And I think, is cricket the same?
Yeah, 87, famous.
Oh, yeah, the famous, yeah. 87, yeah.
13 off a ton.
Yep.
Yeah, and then... but I think the nervous 90s are more prominent than 87.
Well, I mean, you talked about sports psychology before, isn't it? And that's the basis of it. Like, if you think, when you start thinking about the outcome of something rather than the process, of course, that's when you lose focus. So you think someone's got their head down, they're batting really well, they're focused on technique, you know, thinking, oh, one take at one ball at a time, and all of a sudden they're not thinking of making a ton. And, oh, I'm on 95, geez. And all of a sudden, so they're now thinking about outcome rather than process. And I think that's the sort of what we're talking about.
If you've
got that process you follow, your brain is thinking about that. You're not thinking about... And you see how many times you see in tennis where it's match point and all of a sudden they can't close the game. Because once again, they've gone from just playing the game to going, all I need to do is get this point to win. And I actually use that a lot against other people, not in anything compared now, but you say to someone, oh man, you get this and you're going to win. And all of a sudden you see it changes their mindset and they lose that ability to focus.
It's unbelievable. Throughout my sporting career, I used to play in teams that could beat better teams, and I used to beat individuals who were more skillful than me simply because they just couldn't get over the finish line. They just couldn't finish it. They were just had that psychological disadvantage where, you know, people like myself who were just an average sports person, I took advantage of that.
Well, as soon as they lose that, they change their mind to thinking about the winning or the next point rather than technique, they're in trouble.
Well, you know, when you talk about teams, and in baseball, there was two really well-known clubs. It was the Chicago Cubs and the Boston Red Sox. Now, the Chicago Cubs, they had a situation where they won in 1908 and 1907, and then they didn't win it again until they won it recently in 2016, so it's 108 years. But in 1945, that was their last World Series before their recent success. And there was an argument with the tavern owner and his goat. He paraded around with good luck, but they wouldn't let the goat sit in the seat that day, and they kicked it out, so he put a curse on...
The goat.
Yeah, the goat. So there was a curse of the goat.
Right.
And then with Boston Red Sox, they won 5 World Series in the first 18 years of the 20th century. From they won 1905 to right through to 1918. They had 5 World Series victories, never lost one. And one of their star pitchers, Babe Ruth, started to become a batter. And then in 1919, the owner sold all these players to the New York Yankees, which included Babe Ruth. And then, of course, the Yankees became really successful. And Boston couldn't win another World Series until finally, in 2004, it won. And unbelievably, they beat the Yankees after being 3 games to nil down, and then won the next 4 to make the World Series, which has never been done in playoff history. And they won that, and of course they've won another 3 since. They've won 4 this millennium.
So what was that curse called? That had a name, that curse.
It was the curse of the Bambino for Babe Ruth.
All right, and so now that's broken.
Yes.
So it can't start again. It's done and dusted.
Well, unfortunately, they buried Babe Ruth a few years ago now.
Obviously, the curse, he was after he'd passed away, the curse was still going.
Yes, because it was unbroken, but now it's broken. So you can't start it up again, can you?
Those things are just, come on.
I know, but at the end of the day, the real superstition to most average people is numbers. I mean, you know, captains like to wear number 1, although that's starting to break down a little bit nowadays. Then there's lucky numbers. 4 is a very lucky number. 7 is everyone's favourite. 8 for the, especially Chinese, they love number 8. And funny enough, I like number 13 because I like 31. Sometimes I wore 13, the opposite, because I always figured that, you know, 13's lucky for me. That's how I looked at it. And a lot of people do, but a lot of people don't, like you said, Friday the 13th. And I think that probably one of the most popular numbers over the last 20-odd years has been number 23 because of Michael Jordan.
Yes, I mean, I know in basketball, every kid wants to be number 23. And it's interesting because it's a fair while ago now that Michael Jordan played basketball, but I still see it. Kids want to be number 23.
Well, this has been a very interesting show talking about superstitions and the like. And so ends another.
I've just got to bless myself and cross myself. And
you're blessed, my son.
Thank you, because now I'll be okay.
Another Carlin Lay Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.